5:13-16.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Thank you, Aiden.
Phew, he's done.
I was watching them from up here. That's a unique spot. I get to sit there and watch them be nervous before they come up. But thanks, boys, for reading. Eliana, you're next. Next time. I just love that last bit of that verse, and it's going to be where we focus a lot today. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Isn't that awesome? We came back from Uganda after our two-year term on the field. Both places are home, so I don't know where to call home and where not to. But we were in Uganda for about 2 years and came back. We slid into the table at my parents' house just in time for Thanksgiving dinner, literally as it was being put on the table. So we planned everything, and we wanted to cram in as much fun as we could and as much family time as we could. So I just want to say how awesome it was to come back. And so far, we've been able to be at Church of the Straits most weeks, our home church, our sending church, and to just sit and be a part of the church. Not serving necessarily, not paying school fees, that's for sure. Not doing all of the many, many things we do in Uganda, but just to sit and hear the messages. And we were really blessed by all the Advent messages. And I told Pastor Dave, I'm really piggybacking today off his messages that he's given. And I shouldn't say I am, because I feel like God, every time, Pastor Dave would agree, every time we get up here, it's God gives us a message, and it's God who leads us to say what we're supposed to say. So one of the amazing things that we've been enjoying is sitting here under Pastor Dave's teaching, yes, and hearing the names of Jesus. Remember the Advent messages he gave. And some of those names. What were some of those names? I'm an interactive speaker, so what were some of the names that we talked about? We're putting you all on the spot. I am. Mm-hmm. King of Kings. Emmanuel. Son of God. The first and the last. Alpha Omega. Wow. So you all got an A+. That was your grading for this year. Well done. Emmanuel, God with us. Alpha and Omega, I am, King of Kings. And as I sat there listening to Pastor Dave, the same thing kept ringing in my head. Who do we say he is? Now, who we say he is doesn't change who he is, does it? I know some people who say Jesus is a good guy. He's a really good guy. And I would believe they're wrong, because he's not just a good guy. He's so much more. But who we say he is, actually, the toilet thing kind of fits in with this. We've got to take action, don't we? We've got to do our part. We've got to say who we believe Jesus is. So I'm coming for you in a few minutes. I'm going to ask you another question, and I hope to get some answers. But think about how you would sum up Jesus to somebody who's never met him, to somebody who has no clue. Jesus who? Who is he? Start thinking about what you would call him. And maybe you're thinking something and you're like, I'm not sure that's right. Do I call him King of Kings? Would I feel comfortable explaining him to someone, King of Kings? God with us? Fully man, fully God, come down to earth as a baby? We just celebrated Christmas. So what do you guys call him? Anybody brave?
My Savior.
Debbie Moore, I knew you would speak up. I told Pastor Dave, didn't I? I'm counting on my Debbie Moore. All right, so she's saying my Savior. She can stand up and proudly say he's my Savior. Mm-hmm.
My everything.
My all in all. what he said. Yes, the Messiah, yes.
And I said, Lord, send a messenger to my brother to share the life-giving message of the gospel. Well, we went out to Nuns Creek on M134, and it was midnight. I was just getting off the midnight ship from the Mackinac Bridge. And I was in my uniform, and I picked my twin brother up, and he had a very critical spirit about him, and I just kept praying under my tongue for him. Well, then we get out to all of a sudden, this guy came up to me. He was like 6'5". He looked like a mountain man. And he said, who do you say Jesus is? And I shook my head and said, what do you have time to think? I said, he's the Messiah. He's the Son of the Most High God.
Amen.
He went to my brother. He opened his pocket Bible. He went to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And he told him my brother's condition.
Wow.
But it was, he confronted me, this big mountain man, and said, who do you say?
Who do you say? It matters, doesn't it? It matters who each of us. It matters who your brother calls Jesus. It matters. And that's what was on my heart as I sat and listened. And all those names meant so much to me, but rarely do I pray to Jesus and say, Emmanuel. Rarely do I think of that. And so I felt like God gave me that message. This might be very different from what I've done up here before, where I say I grew up a block away and how many years I left and all that. But that's not the message I felt God giving me today. How many of us could say that Jesus, to me, he's love? He's love. When I think about love, he's hope. I'd given up all hope. Jesus was my hope. Debbie said, Savior. Could we call him our Savior? Do you call him your Savior? I'm getting personal on purpose. Basically, in a nutshell, your answers to that question is why we do what we do in Uganda. Because there are people worldwide who don't have hope. Some of them are sitting right here today and who don't know who to call for hope. I'm out of hope. I've tried worldly options. It's not working for me. But Jesus can be your hope, and he wants to be your hope. And we want to carry that hope to Uganda as well. We say, and it's in the Bible, that it's a hope that does not disappoint, everlasting hope. Some of you today would say, he's my Savior. Others would say, I like to go to church on Sunday. I think he was a good guy. That's not enough. That's like not flushing the toilet. Thank you, Levi, for the toilets today. And so the same message, as I shared this with Peter, the idea that I wanted to share here today, and really piggybacking and just continuing what Pastor Dave has been doing, in the names of Jesus and who he is and what he asks of us. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about do not be afraid. And how many times that's in the Bible, and that's a command from Jesus. Jesus asks things of us. So going back to the toilet message, let me just tie that right in for you, boys. If we're not taking action, and if we're not deciding, and if we don't know who Jesus is to each of us, if each of you cannot say who Jesus is to you, then there's more to the story. That's not the end. If you're here today and you think, Messiah? Maybe not. Cool guy? Yeah. Well, then there's more to the story. And the more to the story is why we go to Uganda. Could we share here? Yep. And God told me, since you're here, share me. Share Jesus. Give me to the people, because that's what he wants to share. That's what he wants for each of you. It doesn't matter if we're in Uganda, in Amsterdam, anywhere in between, all of our flight stops, it doesn't matter. What we are on earth for, of course I'm going to cry because I always cry here. What we are here for is to promote Jesus and to put him on the pedestal. If he isn't your hope, if you can't say that with conviction, there's more to your story. there's more. If he isn't your savior and you say, nope, I wouldn't say that comfortably. I wouldn't shout it out like Debbie did from the back. I wouldn't feel brave enough to do that because I'm not convicted. There's more to your story. There's more. And so I can say, I'm not going to do an altar call, but Pastor Dave, Peter, myself, many others, if you can really say he's not your savior today, he's not your hope, he's not love to you, then let's talk. If you have questions, we can help you find answers. We don't have all the answers, but we will help you find more to your story because he's more than just a good guy. He is God with us. He is hope. He has been our hope. And so if that's all I said today, that would be okay with me, but I'm going to go on. So that's our why. That, in a nutshell, as I tried to sum up why we do what we do, because there are people who don't know the hope of Jesus. That inexplainable. One of the things I would call Jesus to myself is peace. He's peace. When the world is crazy, when the world is scary, when even sometimes we move houses and we travel across continents, things get crazy. And then I still have peace, the peace that passes all understanding. That's Jesus. That's not me and my good planning. That can only be Jesus. So the why of what we do is Jesus and the everlasting hope that he offers. Okay, so what do we do? We run Northern Life Ministries. Yes, I grew up a block away. I taught Sunday school here. I was in Sunday school here, have been here for a long time. And then in the last 17 years, have not been here so much. My attendance is poor because we've been in Uganda. So we have a community development project called Northern Life Ministries that started right here. Its very name is because of the Aurora Borealis that we all see. We felt like the community we work with, the kids we work with, they were stars born to shine. They were something that deserved to be lifted and elevated. And from years ago, we started this ministry. And the different things we do, it's a community development organization registered in Uganda. And our main thing is to empower widows and orphans. We've used the phrase neediest of the needy. So it's not just any orphan. It's not just any widow, but it's the extreme neediest. For a long time, we were meeting people as their loved ones were dying, and we were able to just offer them hope and some stability in those times. So we help to empower. We don't take on. We are not an orphanage. We don't have kids gathered in one space. But we help them stay with families. We help seek out families for them to stay with, more like foster care on a Ugandan steroid, we like to say. It's very different there. But the Ugandans are good at taking in kids. They're good at taking in needy, but they don't always have the means or the know-how. So we have advocated for orphans for over 17 years now. So you can imagine kids that were little, starting with, 3-year-olds, they're now not three anymore, just like our kids have grown up as well. And so the way we're involved changes. As we're involved with the school project and getting kids into schools, we started more community development. And so we would see widows taking care of orphans, and we would see that they can't make ends meet. We could provide school fees, we could provide medical, but what can we do to help get this family back on their feet? And so over the years, you've seen us advertise different projects we're doing. The bed building project, where literally over 50 widows came out and built their own beds, trained by one Ugandan carpenter and some volunteers from Michigan. So that was the coolest thing. They went in a month from having no beds to actually knowing how to make their own beds and being able to do it. We have animal projects that is probably our biggest community development right now. Peter loves going out and learning about animals and figuring out from local people which animals need to go where and how to care for them. And so much like the heifer project, we do an animal project to bless a family. And this church has been a part of that. So we've been able to buy animals and then they breed them. They get goat milk. Usually it's chickens or goats. So they either get eggs and meat or milk and meat, and then they can sell them. When it gets to about 7 to 9 goats that they have, we give them 2. When they get to about 7 or 9, they can choose one to give to another family. So we will take a female goat from one family. Actually, we won't take it. They offer it. And then a male goat from another family, and we bless another family. So that actually sustains itself and continues to bless the ministry. Also empowering people to help and to give back. So they get some support by getting a startup project, and then they go ahead and continue it. And so some have gone very well. Not all of them have gone very well, but many have, and many people have been wonderful stewards of that gift, and it's enough to keep them sustained. It's enough to help their kids stay in school. It's enough to support their family, and then also eventually to give back. And then, of course, the sponsorship program, which we've had, that's been the Church of the Straits has been our biggest advocates of the sponsorship program for our kids. We do still have a few enrolled. We're connected with many of our, I hate to say, now adult children. How did that happen? I don't know. It went so fast. But yes, so we still have some enrolled, and we still have some that we're involved in different projects. In fact, one of them we saw on the streets of Jinja the other day before we came back, and he said, oh, yeah, my good English, it's because of that project. I get a good job now because I have good English, and I can do that. So that's part of what we do. So majorly empowerment and advocacy is our big thing. The other thing we offer is guidance. So that could be spiritual guidance and counseling. I've done years of grief counseling and trauma counseling with Uganda's orphans and different organizations and in schools. But then recently, in this last two-year term, God surprised me by a missionary organization reaching out and asking me if I could do trauma healing with some missionaries. And my initial response was, no, I don't do that. I'm used to doing trauma healing with, we're sitting on the floor and we're coloring and we're talking about tough things. And so I dug deeper. I actually took a refresher course on trauma healing because I had actually just taken it because we had gone to the refugee camps and we were empowering counselors in the refugee camps. And I thought, well, if God has opened this door, let me try to walk through it and see what happens. So about a year ago, I started doing trauma counseling with missionaries, people who had experienced trauma in Uganda, who were not being able to serve in full capacity because of whatever had happened to them. Sometimes family stuff, sometimes break-ins or some other traumatic things. So missionaries started coming to me, and I started doing trauma counseling for 2 days a week, 2 afternoons a week, and that was as much as I could handle with all the other things. I actually at some point had to turn clients away. And then a neat thing happened is that those missionaries were then finding Ugandans that they were working with and bringing them to me to go through trauma healing. And so then it's back full circle and I'm back in my comfort zone, back with Ugandans. So, but it was just an amazing way to see how God would knit us together and how he would use the skills that I have and the passion that I have to serve anyone with trauma. And so I really had to kind of open my hands and say, okay, God, this is your thing. And if you've given me a passion for trauma healing, I'll help anybody I can. And so it's been a very rewarding, sometimes difficult thing, but very definitely a God thing in that. So overall, our community development does empowerment, advocacy, and guidance. And with the counseling, we also have another form of guidance, which is the Bible. So we do discovery Bible studies, and we teach students how to read the Bible and how to dissect it on their own. There's a series of 5 questions that we ask. I lead them through it the first couple times, and then they take off. So that is now in schools. All the schools that we're in, our Northern Lights kids have brought that into different schools, into different villages. And that is by design something that I am not involved with at every level. The idea is that it's a flame and it can spread. So we just train, and it's very simple training, and then that takes off on its own, and it's student-led. So overall, we've been ministering for these 17 years to orphan children, to families, and as a part of the community. As you can guess, that's all based on relationships. Aidan's verse said, and I'm going to repeat it, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Our good deeds, according to the Bible, are not what get us into heaven. But our good deeds are what glorifies our Father, or they can glorify our Father. When we do something good, there's a joke among the missionary communities back in Jinja and in Uganda that when we go back to our churches, they just say, oh, you've done so great and you've done so much work, and they put us on a pedestal. And Peter and I have repeatedly said, take us off the pedestal, because we are called as everyone here is called. We do it a little bit differently. And yes, it's quite a bit farther away and we miss a lot of family Christmases. But other than that, everything we're doing is simply to bring glory to God, to get his name out, to promote his kingdom and his peace. And that's what we want to do. We want to be the salt and the light. And we thank this church for helping us do that. I want to share a quick story, something I haven't shared a lot. We have deep relationships for all these years in different venues. It's, of course, not just with orphans and children. Several years ago, probably about 6 years ago, we hired a nighttime guard. His name is John. And he worked for us. He's was in his early 20s. And yes, we do have to have guards. We would love it if we could have armed guards, but that's out of our budget. But yeah, the security of Uganda is not great. And so we do have to have a guard. So we hired John, who had been through some training. We were able to pay him double what he was getting where he was working for a company. And he came to work for us. And over the years, he was just the best worker. We just loved him. And, yeah, we talked about him. You know, he said he was not a believer. We talked to him about Jesus, and he knew we had faith. That's what he would say. He knew we were believers, but it wasn't his thing. He was just going to be a good guy, and that was fine. And so we didn't push it, but we continued to live out our faith. And I'm going to cry, so just brace yourselves. A time came when John was very sick. And we did the best we could for him. But we all knew he was going to die. And he was probably 23 at the time, 24, way too young. And we gave him time off work. We gave him the best treatment we could. It was kind of unknown and lots of medical things going on quite suddenly. And so he went to his village. That's the custom. Go far away, deep where your parents came from, not in the city, and just get well or die, one of the two. Well, one day he came stumbling through our front gate in our driveway, and he just cried out, Mom, I'm dying, I'm dying. And Peter wasn't home. I didn't know what to do. But we brought him in, and I called Peter to come home. He was a sick man. He's there on the screen. He's a thin man anyway, but he was wasting away. And I just kept telling him, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. There's not ambulances there that actually work. So it wasn't like I could just call an ambulance and get somebody there. Anyway, Peter got home. We had to hire somebody to take him to the hospital. We took him to our doctor. We spent more than we make in a month on his medical, and that is by the grace of God, because the money that we would need just kept coming up, and we just kept throwing it into the medical bucket for John because he needed help. And so we were in on his different diagnoses and different things that were going on, and we just kept saying, yep, we're going to keep treating you until you're well. We gave him 4 months off of work, told him to get well, and the doctor said, don't bring him back to work. You know, he's a sick man. Well, about 3 months later of the 4 months we told him to go and rest, he comes back to the gate looking pretty much like that. Healthy and strong. Yep, thin. but he was doing well, and he said, Mom, I'm ready to work. And I don't know. Actually, I didn't know this is in the picture. But his necklace says, I love Jesus. So I said, what's this necklace about? He said I was dead, and he brought me back. That's why we go and do what we do. I didn't fix John. Peter didn't fix John. Jesus fixed John. And he still has ongoing medical issues. But he does the right things for his condition. He takes care of himself. He does what he can. But I said, he said, you know, you used to have the Discovery Bible studies at your house. And when he got very sick, he would work in the day because we didn't want him. We would just say, oh, yeah, just come and guard our house during the day, which we didn't really need. But he would listen to the kids in Bible study. And he's like, oh, I heard you sharing with them. I heard them share when you said, you know, the Lamb of God. And I wondered about that Lamb of God, another name that Pastor Dave talked about in the Advent season. This Lamb of God, this Jesus, born as a baby, come to die. He's like, that doesn't make sense. But I watched the love that you have. I watched the way you took care of me. He said, my mother told me I was dying. My mother said, come home and die. Die at home. Don't be in the city. He's like, but you believed and you invested in me. And Jesus saved me. And I'm saved. His conversion did not come with a pamphlet. His conversion did not come in church. He doesn't go to church, actually. His conversion came in his own private time, where he knew I was lost without him, and now I'm found. I was dead, and he's given me life. And those are his words, not mine. And so John still works for us. You know, we've moved into our own not quite finished house this just a few months ago, and John moved with us, and we decided to rent him a house nearby where we live, and it's not much, but he came to our house one day, and he said, this is the best house. I don't even care if I don't have a bed. This is the best house I've ever lived in because it's cement, not the mud house. And his wife was very pregnant at the time. They have a son. Sorry, it's kind of dark up there, but they have a son about Eliana's age, and his wife was pregnant. And we moved him in with us a few days later, just down the road. He said it's the best place ever. We had an extra set of bunk beds we were able to give to their family, and he is just flying high. This is just the best thing. This is the best I've lived ever. We literally pay $50,000 a month. That's about $20 a month for his rent. And we said, we will pay part of it, and then your salary will pay. So we'll pay 3 months to give you a little push, as they say in Uganda. And so a few days later, the baby was born. And he says, I said, well, what'd you name your baby? And he said, well, if it's okay, Mom, we'd like to give her your names. And I said, oh, and I've had people name baby Kate before, but he says, no, I want it to be baby Kate, Catherine Lee Walugembe. And so he took all the names. It's not even his tribe. It's not even normal. But he said that baby, actually, and he told us just this days before we left to come back home, that baby wouldn't exist if you hadn't saved my life. So he said, we are raising that baby Christian. We are, you know, they want to know about baptism. We're teaching them. They want to get their kids into the system, into that Jesus system. It's just been amazing. So that's just one little story of just connecting with people, building relationship. No, we're not preaching on the streets, but we are walking out our faith in front of people every day. And John will be with us in heaven because he's a believer now, and his family, and he's brought that hope to his family. He can say, Jesus is my Savior. He can say, Jesus is everlasting hope. And so that's just one tiny little thing. Again, that they may see in the same way that they let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Any good that we do, anything that we would do to help people, may it just bring glory back to Jesus, back to the Father in heaven. So we started this in 2003. I went out from this church saying, I think God's calling me to Uganda. I think God wants me to work there. And this church supported me for what we called my investigation trip, an investigation trip that I would be on for about a year and a half before I came back home. And started this thing in 2003 with this body of believers. Yes, there's new people. Yes, some have gone. But this is where it started. And so it's always emotional for me to come back here and to think, we did this, guys. We've done this. So thank you for your years of support. Thank you for following us through the ups and downs. Thank you for being a part of this, because this is not Kate and Peter's ministry. This is a ministry of ours for the glory of God and for no other reason but Jesus, but for the goodness that Jesus has given us. And this is our overflow. We've actually started to call sort of this new season of our ministry overflow, because it just feels like everything is just bubbling over. Where we see a small scope that, wow, kids are growing up, what do we do? And God says, yeah, I got this. Yes, kids are growing up. Yeah, they're starting to trickle back home now, too. I didn't know. Some of you guys with older kids, I didn't know how they trickle back in. But yeah, they're coming back and they're saying, oh, thank you for believing in me. One girl who left kind of on rocky terms. She wasn't cooperating with the sponsorship program. She wasn't writing to her sponsor. She wasn't always showing up at school. She contacted us just about 2 months ago and said, it's because of you guys that I'm now in the capital city. I've finished my education. I'm sorry that I messed up. I know I didn't abide by the rules of Northern Lights and I couldn't receive sponsorship anymore. But I want to come and visit you and I want to tell you about how things have been going. I mean, awesome. She has pulled herself up by the bootstraps and she's just doing everything she can. And she also is a strong believer. She was one that we never really knew if anything was taking, you know, if she was really, and yeah, it was. She was a wallflower. Probably she still is, but she was absorbing it, and it was something special for her. So really quickly here, the support of this church and also individuals in this church and other churches. We have about 7 other churches that we go to, that we share with, and that partner with this ministry. They have supported us. You have supported us. And right now, we're very open with our funding. We've got $4,000 that we are raising monthly, and that is not including